Infowars.com/show.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone. Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone.
First in my scope is BAE Systems. Specialize in killing people from a distance. Power is a drug and they feed the addiction. Immediate deletion of people's existence. Who says what isn't legitimate resistance. To push these buttons, you don't need a brave heart. State of the art darts leave more than your face scarred. You might impress an A&R with your fake bars. Cause you probably think Rolls Royce only make cars. This is for the
great
colonizers.
He's doing the song that you're hearing right now. That is just as relevant as it ever was, folks. Written, of course, during the Iraq War, but what is old is new. We're here again, folks. We're going to be joined by Lebanon John in the next hour. We're going to get back into the Iran War. We may take your calls as well. We did that a couple years ago at the very beginning of the war by Israel against Gaza, and we got some great content out of that. We had some very interesting callers, and we might do that again. Or we may just get an update as to what exactly is going on in the Middle East and where things stand strategically. And we're also going to get into how Turkey plays into all of this. And actually, I'm going to get into the data center stuff here in just a second. But there's another phenomenon. Earlier I talked about how online the pro-Israeli people are just resorting to calling everybody stupid. And it's not working very well. And one of the main strategies is source discrediting, right? Oh, you got that from Iran. You believe them. And it's so funny because it's stuff like the attack on the school, right? And they're like, you believe what Iran said? It's like Pete Hegseth admitted that this was the case. But it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So that's one of the strategies that's often used. The other, and it's hard to kind of explain this, but you'll already know it if you're a conspiracy theorist, because this is kind of a regular thing that's always happened. And it's that sometimes reality really is so ridiculous that people won't believe you on the basis of how ridiculous it is. So, like I said, something about, you know, maybe Trump wants to leave NATO because they're gearing up to make Turkey the next
enemy.
Hello, the next enemy.
The old ritual will be coming in and interrupting Owen. I was going to tell you.
It's been a while.
I was already shooting a video on this when I saw your headline. This is the Battle of Kirk Island. I believe that A-10 being shot down over that, I said a week ago, they used A-10s there. That means they're going in. We need to pray that Trump pulls back. I think we're launching an invasion of the Strait of Hormuz or the islands this weekend. This is really bad news. We'd heard they were going to do it Friday. They wouldn't send A-10s into solving things up unless that was the case. I want to say, pray for peace, folks. It looks bad.
Absolutely. Amen. Alex Jones, everybody. But this is one of the things. Or the other one I'll get is people say, oh, why aren't you're freaking out about the red heifer thing. And it's like, I'm not the one saying the red heifer thing. They're the one saying it. We have Naftali Bennett, the former prime minister of Israel, saying that Turkey is the next target. So it's just... it happens over and over where you just repeat what they're saying and then people act like you're the crazy one. Well, you're obsessed with this. They're going to have the red heifer and they're going to remake the temple to bring about the Messiah. And it's like that Benjamin Netanyahu gave a speech saying that. Not me. You think it's ridiculous? Take it up with him. I just take him seriously. I take Naftali Bennett seriously when they say this, especially when the geopolitical construct of the world shifts in accordance with what they're saying. When Trump is threatening to leave NATO, I really think that they operate on timetables that are years in advance. They're seeding the ground for this war to not just continue forever in Iran, but to expand to Turkey and maybe then to expand to the rest of Europe as more and more Muslim refugees get into Europe and they take more and more power and eventually vote themselves into Sharia law. Suddenly they'll be the big terrorist Muslim threat that we have to go after, because the war that we are now in, that I would contend has been going on for probably 10 years or more at this point, considering the fact that you have the civil war in Syria that comes after the Arab Spring, that Russia's involved in, and you've got the sort of proxy war going on in Syria for like 15 years, actually, which has been going on forever the whole time. And I mean, we're in World War III, and we've been in World War III for a long time. I guess it's up to the future historians to look back and determine exactly where it began. But certainly it has begun, and it began a long time ago. Where it goes from here is still up to us. And, you know, again, we're looking at all these different signals that we're getting, many that are contradictory or out of step and out of line with what we've heard before. Again, the fact that Susie Wiles goes on mainstream media and says, yeah, Trump is being given a rose-colored view of the conflict, and I had to tell his advisors to just give him the truth and not, you know, change what they're saying to make him happy. Like, that's crazy. That's a very big deal. Joe Kent quitting is like the biggest deal ever. That's huge. Pete Hegseth firing all these generals, and the assumption is that's because they weren't yes men. They weren't going to go along with what is probably a giant invasion of Iran. An invasion of Iran, by the way, that Trump has apparently been planning since the 80s. And I'm going to wait to get in. I'm going to wait for Lebanon John to really get into this, because he and I were talking about it earlier today. And we're thinking maybe that's part of the problem, is that like Trump actually, I mean, he gives interviews, and all of the crew pull in the Barbara Waters interview from the 80s where Trump is talking about Iran. And he's talking about, we can go in and take their oil, and we can take over the coast, and be this giant injection of cash into the American economy. And it's like, okay, did he come up with this plan in the 1980s and never changed it, never updated it? Is still operating on assumptions that he made 40, 50 years ago? Is that possibly part of why this boondoggle has been carried out under Trump? And was this the reason that Trump was even supported in the first place by some of the Israeli influence networks here in America? Because they obviously were very, very, very upset with the JCPOA, the nuclear agreement that Obama made. And they really wanted it taken down. That was one of the first things that Trump did when he became president. And it's not unlikely that that was a bargain. Hey, you support me, get me into office, I will get rid of the JCPOA. And if you watch The Lobby, the documentary made by Al Jazeera about the Israeli lobby here in America, they made one in the UK as well. Go ahead and pull this one in for when John's on, because we'll want to reference this. Because it's important to understand. Because, this shapes Trump's thinking and like where we are, what the purpose of all of this is. And it may be that the plan he came up with in the 1980s, he's still running with, while Iran has made 40 years of advancement and been ready for this for so long. We don't know. We just don't know. But we do know the, you know, consequences of everything else we've done in the Middle East in this world war that's been going on for 15 years. Of course, the president of Syria is, I believe, still in Europe, being celebrated and honored and with the red carpet rolled out. Meanwhile, drugged, raped, and impregnated Alawite women recount kidnappings in the new Syria. Abductions of women and girls from Syria's Alawite minority are, quote, more common and more brutal than Syria extremist-led government has acknowledged, a New York Times investigation published April 3rd has found. In November, the Syrian government, led by former ISIS commander Ahmed al-Shara, denied that Alawite women and girls are being abducted, claiming that dozens and dozens of cases, they had just run away from home to be with lovers. However, Syrian activists confirmed the details of nearly 100 Alawite girls who had been abducted, including many who were taken following the government's massacre of at least 1,600 Alawite civilians in March 2025. So again, you don't even need our speculation. You don't need us to look at Iran and go, here's what will happen in the future. Just look at Syria. Syria was not an enemy of ours. It was not a threat to us. They also didn't have nuclear weapons or, you know, anything that they used to justify the attacks on Iran. None of it existed for Syria. Syria was not a Western country. It was not a democracy by any means. Of course, it's not one now. That didn't seem to matter, actually. It turns out that it doesn't really matter to the people in power if you are a monarchist, authoritarian, you know, tyranny like our best friends, the Saudis, or a, you know, a clerical construct of government like the Iranians. That's not the thing that they care about. Bashar al-Assad is no less or more of a democratic leader than al-Shara is. Al-Shara didn't usher in a utopian globalist vision of diversity. The exact opposite. Massacres against minority populations of Christians, Alawites, Druze, kidnapping girls from these minority sects to both psychologically and physically terrorize these minority populations. What is the argument for this? Like, can anybody out there, and there are thousands of people out there who spent 10 years desperately advocating for America to get involved and go oust Bashar al-Assad, is this the outcome that was desired? He was an eye doctor who lived in England most of his life. And if you see the images, I mean, look at a picture of Bashar al-Assad and his wife. She's beautiful. She's glamorous. She's wearing something that you would see, you know, a woman from the Kennedy clan wear. Like, she's classy. She looks Western. She looks like somebody you'd see walking around the streets of Paris. Meanwhile, al-Shara, you can't even find a picture of him with his wife because every time there is one, she's standing 10 feet away from him and a little bit behind him and dressed head to toe in black robes. So it's like, okay, we replaced the Western guy with the ISIS terrorist. And this was on purpose, and this was the design, and this was the desired outcome of the people who did it. I mean, that's the argument right there. Explain it to me. So there's Bashar al-Assad, you know, murderous dictator. There's al-Shara, freedom fighter. It's ridiculous. We literally replaced a dude that looks like what he is, a Western eye doctor, with the guy that looks like what he is, a ISIS barbarian. And we're told this is progress, this is good, this is good for who? Not Christians, not Americans, not the minorities in Syria, not the majorities in Syria. Definitely not the women in Syria. Thank you, crew. Very good point. It's not even a laughing matter, but yeah, seriously, the women in Syria too. But we got to go to war with Iran because we want more of this, I guess. We could still back out right now. Right now. Iran 1953, MI6 plots with Islamist to overthrow democracy. Declassified British files highlight a little-known aspect of the joint MI6-CIA coup against Iran's democratically elected government in August 1953, UK covert action in support of leading radical Shia Islamist, the predecessor of Ayatollah Khomeini. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to get back to the Iran war. There is some other stuff that I do need to cover. A bunch of videos actually come out sort of about the same topic. But I want to ask. Yeah, I'm going to go to data centers here. We are building, at this moment in America, no less than 3,000 data centers. 3,000. I looked it up yesterday. Couldn't believe it. The question is why? What are they going to do? There's a lot of talk about data centers. I haven't heard a single reason they need to be built. Why they need to be built by the thousands. What is this going to do for Americans? I honestly want to know. Do we really need 3,000 server farms that are bigger than you can possibly imagine? In fact, crew, go into yesterday's folder. There's a video about the farmland in Florida that's being taken over for the new Meta data bank. It's like unbelievable. The person's driving for like 5 minutes and it's just all of this farmland is going to be turned into a server farm. Yeah, there's 405 operating in Texas, 442 being built. Is it going to improve your life? Is your life suffering from a lack of computational power right now? Is it worth it? Because the question isn't, you know, these aren't small things. These data centers require like billions and billions of gallons of fresh water. They require acres and acres and acres of farmland. They require billions upon billions of dollars. They require so much energy, it's like impossible to even describe. One data center, a super data center in Ohio, requires as much energy as 9 nuclear reactors. So think about all of the resources that we are and plan to pour into data centers. All of the fresh water, all of the land, these are things that we shouldn't be wasting, all of the energy, more energy than our cities currently use, all of this investment, all of these resources being poured into data centers, how is it going to improve your life? What is it going to be used for? Can you tell me? Can anybody tell me? It seems like right now we've got plenty of computational power to handle 99.999999% of technological necessity. What is the point of these? Why are we spending so much? I mean, would you not rather have like a brand new airport? Would it not benefit you to have like your roads repaved and your elementary school refurbished? Why are we dedicating so much to these data centers? What are we doing it for? It's all for AI, but like I can't even figure out what the purpose of that would be. Obviously, we have plenty of computational power right now. I mean, yesterday I was doing research with AI. I had every type of AI open. I'm searching in Claude and Gemini and Grok and all these other, all totally free. Doesn't seem like there's like a big crunch of computational power if I can be operating 10 of these systems at once and not pay a cent for it. Seems like there's plenty out there. It's like, no, we need more to do more. To what? Create more AI abomination images? Like, what are we talking about? All of this is, I don't really want you to answer. I know the answer. The answer is they're building the prison around us. That's what this will be used for. It's the only thing this stuff could be used for. It's the only reason you would have to build thousands of data centers right now. It's not that we're just, you need somewhere to keep all of our photos and we're constantly all running out of iCloud space. Like that. It's not for us. It's to enslave us. And it's our money and it's our resources and it's our fresh drinking water that's going towards it, but it is entirely and completely the infrastructure of control. That's all this is for. So we'll go to a few of these because, again, it's not like this is some brilliant upgrade where it's like, oh, we're spending billions of dollars and all this, you know, fresh or billions of dollars and all this fresh groundwater on. You know, we're getting rid of the coal power plants and replacing with nuclear and we'll never have to get coal ever again and they'll run forever and power everybody and electricity will be free. It's like, okay, then I can understand the resource dedication to something like that. We're going to pour all of these resources into all of these data centers and it's only going to make our life worse. Do you understand what a big deal this is? So I don't, which one should we go to first? Let's go to clip 33 first because this is just another side effect. Like, you know, the main threat of this is that it's literally the prison walls being built around you. And the side effects are your electricity bill going up and, you know, literally a digital panopticon being erected so they can know everything about you at every second of the day and to surveil and censor and control you. That's like the real big threat. But along with this come a whole host of other minor inconveniences. Let's watch. This is the noise you're hearing from the data center in Michigan. Pleasant, isn't it? One resident says the noise has made him unable to open his windows in the summer, and he's worried what that will do to his property value. The company, Hyperscale Data, is planning to expand.
Sell the house, who's going to want to buy the house with that noise? No one's going to want.
So, I mean, think of this. I got to take. I can't even stand to listen to it. I can't even stand to listen to the video of it. But think about that. The guy's like, yeah, no one's going to buy my house now. Not only, like, it's lowering my house value, like, it might have lowered it to zero. You think they're going to pay for it? You think the data centers with the trillions of dollars on hand will be able to spare the, you know, $200,000 this dude's property is worth? Probably not. No, they'll just destroy your life, destroy your neighborhood, take all of your tax dollars and your groundwater and your electricity so they can inconvenience and enslave you. You know, same thing like at some of the Major League Baseball stadiums now. They got rid of concession stands. Now there's just big vending machines with touchscreen, you know, operation. But the beer still costs $20 a pop. $20 a can for beer. You'd think you fired all these people, you're saving all of your major costs for running this operation. You'd think maybe you'd pass some of that down onto the consumer, especially since now we're taking on the labor and burden of doing the work that your cashier used to do. We check ourselves out now, but the price only stays up. That's the data center mindset in total. They will ruin your property, take all of your resources, and then at the end of the day, you don't even benefit. You don't get anything from it. Nothing about your life improves in the slightest from all of these inconveniences. That's the deal we're making. You give us all of the most precious resources in the world at a time when the country is collapsing and, you know, everything's failing. We're going to dedicate infinite resources to building these things. And in return, your life just gets worse in every possible way. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the deal we've made. Let's go to that Florida video so we can see just how much land is being given over to these data centers so they can build our prison.
I'm taking this video so that people can understand, like, this is the video prior to the video. This is the farmland that you're driving through until you come to the AI data center. Like, it is nothing but just super rural homes, beautiful homes. Like, we're rural, very rural. And then, like, just to give you an idea, so, like, that's literally just so rural. And then here we go. We're about to pull up on it. You can start to see the lights from back here. It's so intrusive because you're just, it's literally like 30 plus miles, maybe more, of nothing but just beautiful rural farmland.
So again, this is a woman in Florida, Atalia Blooms on TikTok, I believe, maybe Instagram. And she's just, she's driving out. Anyway, it goes on. She just drives past field after field after field, and it's all been demolished to create these massive data centers that just go on forever and ever and ever. And again, I ask you, for what? For what? Not anything that's going to benefit you. So we can go to this video. So many people showed up to oppose these data centers in, I believe this was Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. They had to bring out the bleachers, and yet they passed it anyway. This vote is the latest in a series of incidents between city officials and residents who opposed the data center proposal. CRG, the data center arm of the area developer Clayco, hopes to build the data center on Highway 67. And so you have all of these people come out to oppose this, to stand up against this, and then they pass it anyway. They pass it anyway. The whole community is saying no. You could go one by one and ask them. You'd get 99% of the people saying, no, we don't want that here. Guess what? You're getting it anyway. All right? You're going to pay for it, and your electricity bill is going to go up, and your well is going to go dry. And at the end of all of it, the only benefit that could possibly come from it is that a bunch of psychotic tyrants control your information. Great. Data centers. Screw them. You should burn
I have
nothing.
Some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it, how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.